right, it's that time again for Living the Good Life. And we are glad to be right here on the air today with you. Dr. Angel, you're on, aren't you? Let me get your microphone on while I answer this phone. Can you say hi?
Yes, hi. Happy afternoon. It's always a great day to be on the radio.
Always a great day to be on the radio. I think we have Cindy Henderson from Idaho. Are you on?
I'm on.
All right. Glad you could make it today, Cindy and Dr. Angel. We're looking forward to a great show. God is moving, and some of you say, well, it doesn't look like it because I look at all the news reports and everything going on, and it doesn't feel like God's doing anything. People, God does his best work undercover.
I like that.
You know what I mean? He's working behind the scenes. He's working in people's hearts. That is what's so interesting about God. You cannot underestimate what he's up to. You know what I'm talking about, Cindy?
Oh, yeah. And he, you know, Bible plainly tells us he turns all things for our good. So
Amen.
no matter what's going on in the world, he is there and he's using it to work things for our good.
He totally is. He has not forgotten us. Dear listener, You are not forgotten by Almighty God. He knows you. He knows the hairs on your head. That always blows me away that he even knows how many hairs. When one falls out in the shower, he knows that too, right? I mean, he knows everything there is to know about us, Cindy. He knows us, and yet he loves us so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, he made us, so. And he made us for himself.
Yes.
So it's like you love your kids. They might be, you know, they might be a mess. They might be in trouble. They might be in jail. You know, they might be into things they shouldn't be into, but you still love them.
Absolutely.
You're always praying for them. You're
always, you know, praying for them. Always.
Whatever. Yeah.
Standing in the gap. So. And Jesus ever intercedes for us before the Father. That's why he's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Comment on that, Cindy, because I love that about the Father, the heart of the Father, the heart of the Son, the heart of the Holy Spirit is all for us, not against us.
Well, I think one of my favorite things is, you know, you go through those times where you don't even know what to pray for.
Right.
Because things seem so bad, so terrible, your situation, you just don't see any end to it, any way out of it. You don't see how it can possibly be turned for anything good, how
right.
anything good
yeah.
can come out of it, how it can work out even. You know, it just seems impossible. And I like how it the Holy Spirit utters groanings.
Yes.
For us, that
right,
that we you know, it's not even. It's I think it's this deep,
right,
just gut level emotion that that we feel that he somehow puts into a heavenly language.
Yes, yes,
and speaks to the Father about it.
Oh, amen. And the fact that he can do this for billions and billions of people just totally amazes me, too. Everything about God amazes me, right?
Uh-huh.
You are tuning in to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, in our 14th year on the air with this show, which is almost hard to believe. I was younger then, Angel.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, just a tiny bit. Long time.
14 years younger.
14 years younger, yes. I don't feel 14 years older, so that's a good thing. With me today, I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. With me today is Cindy Henderson that you're hearing from Idaho, who was a part of this ministry here locally for a long time and then moved out there and still is a part of us from a distance. We love that, Dr. Angel, don't we? That
yes.
we have so many Beaconites that are scattered in different places of the United States. But yet they can still be a part of the ministry since it's global.
Yes, that's an amazing thing. And that's the wonderful gift of technology.
Yes.
So we can still be connected, even though we're separated by miles.
Absolutely. So we have Cindy Henderson here, and we also have Dr. Angel Falzone. And Angel is a very busy person these days. Would you tell our audience what you're doing daily?
What I'm doing daily? I have a private counseling practice here in the ministry building we share with the church. And so very busy helping people get through the depression, the fear, the anxiety, everything that's been going on, and helping them live well and live strong.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. Live well and live strong. So, yes, that is who you are. And we are excited about everything God is doing. We had an amazing service today after we got through a few of our technical issues. Because we have been for several weeks. Tell them what we've been doing, Angel, while I get this song
queued up. Oh, wow. So on top of having our live services in the building, we are also Zooming our services for people who are separated by distance.
Right.
As well as doing Facebook Live for a portion of the service. So
right.
It's a little bit of technology.
Yeah, Cindy, and Angel sits in the center aisle and controls all these cameras and everything that's going on at once. And that can be a little nerve-wracking, can it not?
Yeah, it gets a little much. Yeah, now I have to control the cameras and cutting on and off the Facebook Live, making sure I'm trying to interact with people both on the Zoom and the Facebook platform.
Right,
so.
And listen at the same time. And
pay attention.
Pay attention, absolutely. Yeah. All right. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity today to be on the show. As we always are, we just give you the glory and the praise before we see what you're going to do. Thank you for Cindy. Thank you for Angel. Thank you for their dedication to the radio team. Lord, we just thank you that today's show will bless many, many hearts. You get the glory and the praise before we ever see what you're about to do. Amen and amen.
Amen.
It's because you're so great, mighty God. Great is the Lord, casting crowns.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope and you restore every heart that is broken. Sing it to him. Great are you, Lord. 'Cause it's your breath in our lungs.
Woo!
So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, sing it out. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out. Shout your praise. our hearts will cry.
Amen.
These bones will say,
start praising him with us right now, will you?
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Praise you, Jesus. It's the breath that he puts within us that causes us to be able to pour out our praise to him. I love that song by Casting Crowns because God is so great, and it's the breath he puts in us that sustains us on a daily basis, Angel, that causes us to be able to sing a song like that, that causes us, our hearts, to just burst with praise. I saw you in there in the control room. I'm in the control room. You're in the studio. But I could see you through the glass just worshiping God. And I'm sure Cindy was too. It is just, it's what we want to do. We just want to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the most sweet place to be, is in his presence.
Oh, yes. And it changes us.
Yes, it does. It mm-hmm. Totally. We do not come out the same when we get in his presence.
How come? Why not?
Mm-hmm. Because that's what he does. The more we worship to him, the more we pour out ourselves, the more
yes.
he fills us up with him.
Yes, he does. And the more we want what he has mm-hmm. for us, we want that. We want to be filled with what he has for us. Oh, it's just so amazing. Cindy, worship and praise, as we are in this series, Believe and Receive. It has been my experience for many years that one of the best, most important things we do is worship and praise. This is critical. Would you explain to our audience, if it's new to them, why this is important?
It calls the presence of God. at the Battle of Jericho, when they were told to march around the city 7 days,
right?
The praise team actually went out first.
That's right. They did.
They led the army.
Right. They led the army. Praise team went first. Yeah.
Yep. And you know, not your biggest guys with the biggest shields and the biggest spears. You know, not your trained army. It was a praise team, basically,
right?
That went out, and because that sets the atmosphere. That,
it does.
Praise and worship actually physically, spiritually changes the atmosphere.
It does.
And invites the presence of God.
Ooh, yeah.
Even more fully than, I mean, he's in each of us. He's with us. But there's something about that. That corporate
yes.
praise and worship that just really opens a very, very powerful, I don't know if you'd call it a portal, but it's like a magnifying glass.
Right.
It magnifies the majesty and the power of God, and it just laser focuses it right on that area where you are.
Well, that is so true. Why is it, Angel, that so many people have a hard time praising God?
Well, you know, I think pride gets in the way. I think, you know, when we're praising him, we are laying ourselves out. We're pouring out our all those things that, you know, in ourselves, that pride of ourselves. And so we have to humble ourselves when we're lifting him up. And I think sometimes our pride can get in the way. I think sometimes we make excuses, you know, mm-hmm. we're too busy and I got so much going on. But we can't afford not to get in his presence and praise
him. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens when we don't do it? What happens if we don't take the time, and we know that we should take the time, and if we don't, what's going on? What happens to us as a result of not taking the time, not worshiping, not praying, not reading our Bible?
We get overwhelmed really quickly.
Yes.
We start, like, things just start falling apart in our lives. We don't know what we're doing about things. We don't have the strength. We don't have the energy. We don't have the hope. Like, it just starts sucking us out.
It does. It does. One of the reasons we played that song is just to magnify the Lord today, because we're in this series, Believe and Receive, and it's a study of the book of John. We've been studying the seven I am statements of who Jesus said in the book of John. These are all in that book, who that he said he was. And they are basically, if let's think of them as adjectives. You know what you talk about there? Look at that house. But if you say, look at that pretty red house, it mm-hmm. more clearly defines the house, right? Say there's a bunch of houses on the street. Oh, but look at that pretty red two-story house, okay? Mm-hmm. Or whatever the case may be. So the I am statements, Cindy, magnify, explain, give us a picture of the nature of Almighty God. And this is vitally important that we learn these things and understand his nature. Why, Cindy Henderson?
Well, because he's one of the best ways to know what someone is like is for them to tell you.
Okay.
And so, whereas humans can be deceptive in that, depending on their purposes.
Sure, yeah.
God's not that way.
No.
And so when God's telling you, and I'm a firm believer that it, like for any issue, whatever issue's going on, you need to actually discuss that issue with the people being affected.
Because true.
The people who live it are going to be the ones who give you the truth.
Okay.
If I have a brain tumor, I'm not going to go to my auto mechanic opinion on it.
Okay.
He might be a great auto mechanic. He's fantastic with cars, but he doesn't know squat about brain tumors.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
And so I'm going to get an expert opinion.
Sure.
About that.
Right.
So this is God giving his expert advice to us about who he is.
Okay.
This is going to the expert.
Exactly. So when God lays out, God the Father, I think it's so fascinating that there are seven of them, because seven is God's number, right? 7 days a week, mm-hmm. All of that. So God lays out his nature here, and he does it through the person of Jesus when Jesus comes to this earth. But as we said a few weeks ago in Exodus 3:14, when Moses said to God, okay, you want me to go talk to Pharaoh about you, who shall I say sent me? And mm-hmm. simply God said, I am, okay? Yahweh, right? And now mm-hmm. Jesus comes to this earth, and it says in different places, but in particular, it says in Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Have you ever seen mm-hmm. a kid that looks a whole lot like one of their parents? Dr. Angel and I were just discussing one of her sons a minute ago, because she showed me a picture of your grandpa, right?
Yes.
And I said, oh my gosh, there's Joey, right?
Yes.
And there's such a resemblance there, come down two generations, but it doesn't matter. I saw Joey immediately when I looked at that picture. And we all mm-hmm. have kids and people in our lives that we can say, oh, that he looks like his dad. He looks like my grandson Joel looks a lot like his mama, right?
Yes.
Doesn't he,
yes.
Angel?
Yes.
He does. And little baby Reese is looking more and more like his daddy. And that's just interesting the way that happens. What God wants for us to do is learn what he looks like, what he acts like, who he is, so we can look, act, and be that same way. Why, Angel? Why do we want to look and act? This is Father's Day. Why do we, some of us have had fathers that are not good examples, not good role models, right?
Yes.
And some of us have had fathers that are excellent role models and a blessing. Cindy, you grew up with a dad like that. I know that because you're a pastor's kid, aren't you? Yeah. Me too. Yeah. So our experience is different than other people's experience, right? So, Angel, take that. Angel, take that and run with it.
Well, first of all, the more we can know who he is, like that's the intimacy of that relationship. So as he's showing us who he is and every dynamic of who he is and what that looks like, you're right. The more, first of all, intimately we get to know him, the more we can trust him to be that for us personally, not just this is who he is, but he is my, you know, light. He is my shepherd. He is my these things. And so we take that personally. And you're right. The more we do start looking and becoming and acting and walking in his character, and that's for God's glory, because that's where people will see God in us.
Oh, amen. Have you ever seen a married couple that started looking like each other?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can y'all? I have. I've seen people that started out looking quite different, and 20 years later, you go, man, they're beginning to look alike. And I think part of that is spending so much time together, and it just kind of, they morph, they change, right? Here's the goal of the Christian life, that we take what we, our personality, our behavior, our attitudes, and that they begin to change and mold, be molded into the fact that we soon are beginning to act like Jesus, look like Jesus. People go, wow, you know, they're a good representation of the Father, or they're a good representation of the Son. Wow, you know? It's bad when a person says, well, my son just acts like my dad, and that was not good, and he's not good, and blah, blah, blah. Those things happen in families, but the goal of the Christian life is to learn the nature of God and to become these things. Angel, you want to go on with that concept? I see you shaking your head. I can't see if Cindy's shaking her head or not. So.
It's calling me out. No, that's calling okay. You. No, you're right.
No, you're shaking your head, yes.
I am, and you're right. That's the more we can reflect his love and his peace and his glory and his power and his honor and his strength, the more we are his lights in this world, the more people have the opportunity. You know, I talk about a lot. The only Christ some people will ever see is the Christ in your life and the Christ in my life. And so we need to get in, you know, plug in and be willing to lay down that those parts of us of who we are and let his character and who he is become who we are.
Absolutely. Have you ever seen somebody or heard somebody say, well, my dad was like that and I'm going to be just like that, and they're proud of it. They're wearing a badge of anger, or they're wearing a badge of hatred. And in this in what's going on right now culturally across the United States, the badge of hatred and the badge of bigotry and the badge of prejudice has got to go and has got to submit to the love. And I declare that right now, girls. I declare in the name of Jesus that this nation is going to be known as a loving nation, a nation that is tolerant and acceptant and accepting of others, that we are a nation of love. And I don't think we've been known that way, and certainly it doesn't appear that we have been for quite a while when you go back to slavery days and all that. And I will say again what I said this morning, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And that's where we stand at Beacon of Hope. Cindy. Amen. Cindy, this whole thing of the nature, today we're going to talk with we've already covered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's John 14:6. If you take notes and want to write it down, there are seven of these. The first one we talked about was John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The second one we talked about was Jesus said in John 6:33 and 35, I am the bread of life. That was a couple weeks ago. And then last week we talked about, I am the light of the world. That's what he says about us. But he also says, and we talked about it last week in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. Okay? So we are not just supposed to know that Jesus is the light of the world. We're supposed to be following his example. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine unto men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's I am the light of the world. Today, it is I am the good shepherd, and we are in John chapter 10. And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about this today. You may want to get some notes and take them. That's fine. Whatever you want to do to learn the truths that God wants to teach us today. We're going to start with a song right now before we get into more discussion here by Jeremy Camp, The Answer. Let's hear it.
The world is reaching, so many hurting, so many lost. With all this striving, who can we lean on? Creation's crying out from the dark. I know the answer to every question.
That's a great song by Jeremy Camp. Love it. The answer. Let's go to Hebrews 1:3. I was just telling you about it, and I really felt like God said, let's go over and look at that. Hebrews 1:3. It's talking about Jesus, and it says this. I'm in the Amplified Bible, so that has extra words in it that help explain what is being said here. Hebrews 1:3. He, meaning Jesus, is the sole expression of the glory of God. And in parentheses it says, the light being the outrain or radiance of the divine, which we talked about last week, I'm the light of the world, right? He is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. And then it goes on to say, when he had by offering himself, that's what he did. He sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. Why is this important, Angel, that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father?
Well, I think it's important for a lot of reasons, but one of the major reasons is, first of all, Jesus came in his flesh and lived among us, and he was the perfect example and lived the character of God. So first of all, we can do that.
Yes.
As humans.
Right.
And we have a human example to show us what that looks like in the face of obstacles, in the face of all kinds of things that he went through. He still perfectly was the character of God.
He was. And we mentioned this last week, I think, that when Jesus came to this earth, born as a babe, he laid aside his divinity, right? He took on human form, it says in Philippians. He became like us so that he could understand us, so that mm-hmm. he could see the things that we go through. And so he realized that all that his sonship gave him was the nature of God. And so he was able to say, this is who I really am. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. This is my true nature. I am the good shepherd. I am all these things, the resurrection and the life. He even said that to Martha and Mary when their brother Lazarus had died. And he said, and he acknowledged right then, I am the resurrection and life, right? And so, Cindy, why is this so important that we understand that God the Father wants to communicate to us his nature through the gift of his Son, who came to this earth and said, I am all of this. You can't see it right now. I'm in a human body. I'm in a human form. But this is my mm-hmm. real nature.
I think because so many religions, there's no chance of ever being good enough.
Oh, how true.
It doesn't matter what you do. You can give all the sacrifices. You can say all prayers every single day. You can make all the journeys. You can do everything, and you don't ever have that personal relationship with your God.
Right.
So many religions are about rules and do this, this, and this. Don't do that, that, and that. And whatever you do, don't even think about doing those things over there. But it's all rules and regulations and works.
Right.
And our God says, no, I want to have a relationship with you.
Right. Yes.
Yes, there are some commandments. There are things that here's some really simple things. Don't kill people.
Yeah.
Don't steal things. And I love how you got this whole Bible with all these great instructions and stories and all these things, and it boils down to two things. And God said it himself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind.
Right.
That is the first commandment with promise. The
right.
second is exactly like it. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Exactly.
As the whole scripture
yes.
boiled down into the two things you're supposed to do.
Right.
Love God, love people.
Right.
And when you love people, when you love God, and because of your love for God, you love people.
Right.
Then you don't need tons of sacrifices. You don't need to sing certain songs or go to certain places. There's nothing
right.
wrong with those things.
Right, yeah.
They're symbolic, but your guiding principle is, I love God, he loves me, and because of that, I'm going to love people. How does that look?
Right.
Well, then that takes you back to the rules and regulations. Don't kill people. Don't steal from people.
Right.
Don't cheat people. Don't
right.
lie about people.
Right.
So that informs that relationship with God, and the fact that he says, love him, love others. That explains the whole rest of the book.
Exactly. And, you know, I find it fascinating as we're getting ready to talk here about the Good Shepherd, that Jesus wants to paint a contrast between him as the Good Shepherd and the thief and the robber, which is the devil, right? So let's go to John 10, and you're so right about everything you just said, Cindy. 10:1, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, he who does not enter by the door, we're going to talk about Jesus being the door next week, enter by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, is a thief and a robber. So Jesus wants to point the difference to between good and evil. Okay? Verse 2, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay? Verse 3, the watchman opens the door for this man, who? The shepherd. And the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. And he calls his own sheep by name and brings and leads them out. We're going to talk about that. We talked about this morning at Beacon, and it's such a powerful truth that Jesus says, I am, another I am statement, I am the good shepherd. How does that impact our lives, Angel?
Wow. Well, that's such a relational, caring position that he has over us, you know. Sheep are valuable, and he wants to care for us and feed us and provide for us and protect us. Being that good shepherd, it's this ultimate place of caring. Yeah.
On Father's Day, it reminds me of, so there's so many fathers around the world that have not taken their parental responsibility seriously, right? We all acknowledge that. But there are some that really have, and that when they find out they're going to be a father, they sense that, I know this by my two sons, when they and my ex-husband, that when they found out that they were going to be a father, they began to plan and think and strategize and even make statements like, I want to be a good dad. I want to, maybe perhaps I want to do better than my dad did by me or my grandfather did by him or whatever the case may be. There is that desire, and the whole nature of being good and taking care of the flock or children that God had given him or in case of a mother, her, is very important. You know, that we take, let's just, it's not Mother's Day, but let's just take it because we three are mothers, and and Cindy's, you're almost a grandmother, aren't you?
Almost.
Yeah, when is she
October.
Due?
October,
okay.
October.
But you are already, because...
It's a girl.
It's a girl! Congratulations, Cindy. First one. All right. That's exciting. And when we are mothers and grandmothers and that kind of thing, there is that nature that rises up in most people, I won't say all people, but that desires to take care of that child. Do you want to speak to that, Angel, because of your counseling prowess there?
Sure. You know, they come in and they want only the best for this child, and they want to make sure no harm falls on this child, and, like, you know, watching, you know, which foods do we feed this child, because I want only the best nutrition. Like, they come in, a lot of them come into the office, and they want complete protection. In fact, some parents have protected their kids so much they've, you know, stopped their own growing from happening, you know, emotionally and maturing, because they're just so afraid of something bad happening to their kids.
So they're all encompassed with the protection and the care.
Exactly. You know, but God, he's the perfect parent, because he gives us that balance of, he wants us to grow, but he wants to protect us too.
Right. And when he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, earthly fathers can disappoint and leave families, etc. That happens. But we are talking about the nature of God here. And God's nature is, Jesus says, the shepherd, the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. So just to give you a little background information, shepherds at this time, back when David wrote the Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when Jesus is talking here, shepherds were those who took care of, in Luke chapter 2, I interrupted myself there. In Luke chapter 2, where the shepherds were out by night taking care of their flock and the angels appeared, a bright light in the sky, the star, you know, follow this. The angels were, or the shepherds were out there taking care of their flock all night. They were laying out there taking care of them. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, okay? My sheep hear my voice. I mentioned this morning. I think this is fascinating about sheep. Sheep are named by shepherds. Shepherds name them all. Of course, I was having some fun with that today, calling them Fred or Henry or whatever the case may be. Maybe they were more like Bible names, Isaiah and Ezekiel and, you know, things like that. Come here, Abraham, you know, things like that. I don't know. But the bottom line is, the truth is what's important here. Shepherds named every single sheep. They did that like we do cats and dogs. You don't have a cat or a dog that doesn't have a name. Now, I've known people who've named their dog dog. I've also known people who've named their dog cat. So, I mean, I have heard of that and seen it. But in reality, generally speaking, we pick out a name for that cat or dog or horse or whatever, just like the shepherds did for their sheep. Angel, talk about that. I mean, this is, to me, is fascinating that the shepherds named their sheep.
I think that it's just such an intimacy there, yeah. You know, and they probably knew which ones would wander which way or which ones would lead the other ones maybe to wander a little to the edge border of where they're supposed to go. But like, even when you take it to the human level, like, you know, mother carrying her child for 9 months, like that child recognizes that mother's voice.
Definitely.
Right? And that's what that intimacy does. The closer we are, like, we know that voice.
Well, both my sons and my ex-husband, when babies were in utero, they would talk to them, they would pray over them, they would sing to them. And so when those babies were born, they knew daddy's voice too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And guys, God wants us to realize that we are his sheep and we can hear God's voice. I know I've heard people say for years, oh, you can't hear God. Oh, really? You just don't know. You just don't understand. Speak to that, Cindy, because I think there's a lot of people that are very skeptical that they can hear from God.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think shepherds naming their sheep is relationship.
Exactly.
We don't name other people's pets because we don't have a relationship with them.
That's a good point.
You know, we name our pets. And so there's a relationship there. Sometimes your pet picks you, but more often than not, you pick your pet.
Right.
You put some effort into it. You know, hey, I really like that dog. You research the breed, you know, things like that. So it's not a casual thing. And when it's just like your kids, you don't let your kid be born and go through life with no name.
Right.
You know, you put a lot of thought into it. My granddaughter is going to be named after my great-grandmother on my mom's side and my grandmother on my dad's side.
Cool.
You know, they were both strong Christian women. And,
wow.
And so there's this
significance.
This history.
Yes.
Yes, significance. And you do that only with people or that you're in relationship with. So that the
Good
naming
point.
Of the sheep shows relationship.
Exactly.
And when you're in relationship, then there's a deeper level of caring. You know, we can be concerned about species that are going extinct, but it's from a distance, sort of. It's the group of them. It's not specific ones of them. Whereas we're protective over our pets. We're protective over our children, and I think that's the shepherd has a very intimate, special, personal family relationship with each of the sheep.
Exactly.
And therefore, the level of caring, of protection, it's heightened. It goes up.
It's
magnified.
Yeah, that's excellent. And, you know, so often we get ourselves thinking, well, we're all so different. No, we're really all so similar.
Mm-hmm.
And and this morning, Daniel and a couple other people at church mentioned this song that just happens to be the one that's on this CD that I just played that song next, Bleed the Same by Madisa.
Yes.
Would you explain that, Angel? Why would I play that right now?
Well, it just goes to show us how much, how we have more similarities than we have differences. And
right.
On the inside of us, we are the same. We all bleed red when we're wounded. We all inside are the same.
And by the fact that the Good Shepherd named his sheep, he had to distinguish them because they really did look alike.
Sure.
None of them looked like cats.
Sure.
None of them looked like dinosaurs. They all looked like sheep, right?
We all bleed the same. We're more beautiful when we come together. We all bleed the same. So tell me why we're divided.
Woke up today. Another headline, another innocent life is taken in the name of hatred. So hard to take. And if we think that it's all good, then we're mistaken. 'Cause my heart is breaking.
Tell it, DC.
Are you left? Are you right? Pointing fingers, taking sides. When are we gonna realize
we all
clothes they're wearing or the color of their skin. Are you black? Are you white? Are we all the same inside? Father, open our eyes to see
we all bleed the same. We're more beautiful when we come together. We all bleed the same. So tell me why.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, we agree with that. Praise God. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that song came up a couple times this morning at church, because that is how God has made us. When God brought the sheep and put them with a shepherd, he didn't say, all right, all you sheep that have a black hoof, you can't be with the ones who don't have a black hoof, right? Or whatever the case may be. And so often, Jesus is trying to say the shepherd takes care of all the sheep under his charge. He is not, he is not, he does not say, these over here, I don't like the color of your wool. Or these over here, you just, you know, you got a bad attitude or whatever. Angel, would you amplify on that? Because I love that song. That's a Mandisa song that really points to the nation right now where we are.
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't. I have not heard that song before, so I really enjoy it.
Oh, you haven't?
No, I haven't.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Yeah. No, it's a great song. And you're right. You know, the, each sheep is all created. They're all created by God, so they all have equal value before him. And
yes.
You know, as people, we want to put value on arbitrary character traits, from what we look like to how we act to how smart we are, or how much money we have. And we want to give people value. God gave us all the value. He created us all
We're
in
equal.
His image, all of us in his image. And before him, we stand equal.
Absolutely. And in in John 10, verse 4, well, 3, it says, the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice and they heed it. They follow what the shepherd is saying. It doesn't say those that were born to this family, well, they don't listen or they don't know. He calls his own sheep by name and brings and leads them out. The shepherd went before the sheep and led them. Okay. When the children of Israel left Egypt and were headed to the promised land, they had what? What happened? They had a cloud by day to cover them and lead them, right? And at night they had a pillar of fire, because they wouldn't have been able to see the cloud. So God provided for them 24/7, 365, right? And so the shepherd, when Jesus calls himself, I am the good shepherd, he's saying, I'm not one who's looking out to try to drive you in the ground or condemn you or beat you up or tell you you're not worthy or I don't like the color of your skin. God made all the colors of all of our skin and all of our personalities and the hair on our heads, right? Some people lack of. But anyway, he calls his own sheep by name and brings and leads them to where they're going, to the pasture, right? David said, David had a revelation of Jesus being the good shepherd. He had a revelation because Psalm 23 is probably one of our most known and beloved Psalms, where Jesus starts out and, or David starts out and said, says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, I shall not be in need of anything. The shepherd provided every need the sheep had, and he called them by name. Okay, when they got close to the edge and would almost fall off a cliff, like I said this morning, he'd go, Fred, get over here. And it, sometimes if Fred was going, I didn't hear that, I'm going to go on this way, he'd get his big staff and put it right around Fred's neck and pull him over. Right? We got a lot to talk about here in the second hour. Boy, this is going so fast. I got so much I want to talk about the shepherd and the sheep. We're glad you're joining us today on Living the Good Life. Angel, would you mention our show on Thursday nights and also mention the prayer team, please?
Sure. So right here on this station on Thursday nights at 6:06 p.m., we have Go Yard. That is our life coaching radio show with me, Dr. Angel, and Pastor Marcia, who is Mama Mac and her alter ego. And
that's my other name.
All about giving you know, our listeners great tools to help them get through the difficulties of life. And we've been handling the series of Coping with Change right now, and it's been a really great in-depth look at how do we really do that successfully.
And for those who want to go back and catch some of those shows, you can go to our website. We've got one or a few on there, I guess, on our website, which is bohmglobal.com. And we just totally revised the whole website a few months ago, and I love it. It's so good. But you can go right here to tantalknetwork.com, go to podcasts, and you'll have to hit a little blue link. It'll open up all the names of all the shows here on Tan Talk Radio Network, which are a lot of shows. Go to the name of the Thursday night show, and that's Go Yard, or go to this one, Living the Good Life, and you'll be able to open up podcast pages. Why would they want to do that, Angel?
Wow. Well, we've almost been on 6 years. So in the 6 years, we have covered so many great life and mental health topics to give our listeners tools and support to get through difficult times.
Yeah, and we enjoy doing that show, too. A lot of times we're surprised by how it goes.
Yes.
Yeah, we are. So that's Thursday nights. Would you mention the prayer team, too?
Sure. Right here in Beacon of Hope Ministries, we have our prayer team where you can email your prayer requests in, and we will send it out. We'll send a prayer, and we'll be praying for you and agreeing with you through whatever is going on in your life, and you can send that to prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Do we see any answers to prayer?
All the time. And so, yes, we always ask that one, when God answers that prayer, that you send it in and let us know that he's answered that prayer.
Why do we want to know that?
Oh, that's a faith booster, man. Faith rises when we know that he is answering prayers. And it's been amazing the amount of prayers that's been answered.
This morning, I forgot to mention in my sermon this morning, but I'll mention it now. As I was getting ready this morning, praying, singing, and all that, I heard God say, praise reports are an acknowledgement of my goodness to you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take that and run with it? Cindy, you only got about 1 minute, but praise reports are an acknowledgement of my goodness to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, when something good happens in our life, we want to tell people about it and tell them why. And so, when it's an answered prayer, then that's, not only can you share your joy about something good happening, but it's also this fantastic witness to let people know, just plant that seed in them that, hey, her God answers prayer.
Oh, amen and amen. So let me tell you a little bit about what goes on at Beacon of Hope. We're in our 19th year, can't believe it, getting ready to celebrate our 19th anniversary on September 29th. On August 30th, we are going to have another combined service with the McKays that have the show right before us. We have done this last year. We've had to postpone two of these because of COVID, but we hope that August 30th will come off okay. Dr. and Mrs. McKay, or Dr. McKay and Apostle McKay just said to me, well, we could always go outside if we had to. So, I mean, we're going to have a service, hopefully, on August 30th. You're welcome. Our new facility, we've been there 1 year, 2058 Weaver Park Drive. Write that down, 2058 Weaver Park Drive. All the information about our services, the shows, their samples, and about our mission work in Mexico are on our new website with pictures. Go there, bohmglobal.com. There's also a giving page. Cindy Henderson, you have found that giving tab. I know you have. And so those of you that want to give towards the ministry in Mexico, we are feeding homeless kids on the streets of Puebla. Puebla is where our mission station is, and it is a town of about 2.5 million people. We are feeding homeless kids in the morning. At night, we are feeding old people, the viejitos, that are homeless, that are sleeping on the streets, sleeping on benches, and they're getting a meal. So we have kind of doubled the amount of feeding that we are doing now, and the money is coming in, Angel. It is coming in. There was a great offering this morning towards Mexico. God is impressing on people that we need to buy this food for all these people because, you know, that's scriptural.
Yes, absolutely it is. Mm-hmm.
It really is. So if you want to give to that, you can go to our giving page, and there is Subsplash there, which is a encrypted, totally secure site for you to give. So go to bohmglobal.com, www.bohmglobal.com, and you can give towards missions or just the general money goes for these shows. That's what it goes for. It's not for salaries or anything like that. Here we go. Station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.